The following is a lecture entitled Appearance Day of Lord Nrsimhadev, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on May 20th, 2016, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So, I'd like to welcome everyone for this most auspicious occasion. The Appearance Day of Lord Nrsimhadev. Nrsimha Bhagavan ki jai. On holy days like this, we get special mercy. One thing is we get to fast and feast. What could be more enlivening than fasting and feasting? We have kirtan. Many devotees come together for kirtan. We get to hear about these great incarnations. And we get to beg for their mercy. They're especially merciful on their appearance days. So this is a very good day to beg Lord Nrsimhadev for His mercy. That He can clean all the dirt out of our hearts. We actually sing it every day in our normal prayers. Bahir Nrsimho, Hridaye Nrsimha. We're praying that our hearts can become completely cleansed and that the whole world can become Krishna conscious. We pray this way every day to Lord Nrsimhadev. Bahir Nrsimho, Hridaye Nrsimha. Every day we're begging Lord Nrsimhadev, please enter my heart and tear away all my impurities and please bless the whole world with Krishna consciousness. Now I was reading in the seventh canto about the appearance of Lord Nrsimhadev. And I found a verse that really amazed me. This is Bhagavatam 7:8:11. So I'll speak on this verse today. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om namo
Shri Hiranyakashipur Uvacha Vyaktam Tvamartu Kamosmi Yotyamatram Vekatase Mumursunam Hi Mandatman Nanushur Viklavagira. The amazing thing about this verse is it says Shri Hiranyakashipur Uvacha. We hear Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, but now it's Sri Hiranyakashipu Uvacha. Did Srila Vyasadeva make a mistake? No, he did not make a mistake. So we will find out why in the world Vyasadeva put Sri Hiranyakashipu Uvacha in the Bhagavatam. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Hiranyakashipu replied, you see, he had asked Prahlad, let's give a little background on this verse. He had asked Prahlad, actually Prahlad had advised him to give up his demoniac mentality.
Prahlada savo piečiui patarė atsisakyti demoniško mentaliteto.
And that didn't please Hiranyakashipu very much. So his reply to Prahlad was, you rascal, you are trying to minimize my value as if you were better than me at controlling the senses. This is over-intelligent. I can therefore understand that you desire to die at my hands, for this kind of nonsensical talk is indulged in by those about to die. You can read the translation.
Taigi, Hiranyakashipu tarė savo sūnui, tu niekši, tu nori sumažinti mano vertę, lygtais tu pats geriau kontroliuotum jūsnes negu aš, tai yra per didelis intelektas. Aš todėl suprantu, kad tu trokšti mirti mano rankose. Nes tokios kalbos yra kalbamos tik tų, kurie nori mirti.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said in the Hitopadesh, Upadesho hi murkyanam prakopaya nashantaye. If good instructions are given to a foolish person, he does not take advantage of them, but becomes more and more angry. Prahlad Maharaj's authorized instructions to his father were not accepted by Hiranyakashipu as truth. Instead, Hiranyakashipu became increasingly angry at his great son, who was a pure devotee. This kind of difficulty always exists when a devotee preaches Krishna consciousness to persons like Hiranyakashipu who are interested in money and women. The word Haranya means gold, and Kashipu refers to cushions or good bedding. Moreover, a father does not like to be instructed by his son, especially if the father is a demon. Prahlad Maharaj's Vaishnava preaching to his demoniac father was indirectly effective. For because of Hiranyakashipu's excessive jealousy of Krishna and his devotee, he was inviting Narsingadev to kill him very quickly. Thus, he was expediting his being killed by the Lord himself. Although Hiranyakashipu was a demon, he is described here by the added word Shri. Why? The answer is that fortunately, he had such a great devotee son as Prahlad Maharaj. Thus, although he was a demon, he would attain salvation and return home back to Godhead. Such an amazing pastime. A father so powerful that he ruled the entire universe. But just see the amazing good fortune of Hiranyakashipu. Of Sri Hiranyakashipu. That he had as his son a great pure devotee of the Lord. But he became such an offender. He wanted to kill his own son. A saintly son. Sometimes it is said, there's two ways to get liberated, become a pure devotee or become a big demon. Being a little demon, that's not a bad thing. But either become a pure devotee or become a big, big demon. But you have to become very big like Hiranyakashipu, Sri Hiranyakashipu. Otherwise, better just to be a devotee. How did he become such a big demon? He underwent great penances and austerities. He stood on his tiptoes for 125 years. He was so rigid in his austerities that around his place of meditation, the ants built an anthill. They completely devoured all his flesh and all of his organs. His eyes, were, everything was devoured by the
enemy.
He was so powerful in his tapa, he was able to maintain his life here just in his skeleton. So I think it's easier to chant 16 rounds and follow the four legged principles. We find difficulty in doing that, but it's actually not that difficult. Krishna's name is so sweet, really. It's sweeter than the sweetest honey, you know. I mean, it's better than sex. It's so nice. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we don't even charge any money for it. I one time became a disciple of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. I had to pay $35 for my mantra. That was a lot of money back in 1960, whatever it was,
68.
It's a lot of money. $35 is big money. Actually, my rent was $30 a month. So that was a big expenditure. And what did I get? That was my mantra, you see. So I was trying that mantra. It's like an airplane at the airport, you're trying to take off, you know. But I never lifted off. Like the endless runway, you just never lifted up. But when a friend of mine taught me Hare Krishna mantra, I immediately lifted off. I felt like I was riding on a magic carpet to higher dimensions beyond the material world. The fact is, this Hare Krishna mantra, it is no ordinary sound vibration. It is called Nama Avatar. The Supreme Lord has kindly appeared in the form of His name. And if with faith you will meditate on His name, He will carry you right now to higher dimensions beyond this material existence. You don't have to wait for death to go to the kingdom of God. You can go to the kingdom of God right now simply by chanting with faith. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So actually you are all Shri. Anybody who is taking this pathway, they are all Shri, you see. They are great person. Anyone who takes this pathway is a great soul. There are two types of souls. There are Mahatma and Duratma. Mahatma is a great soul. And a Duratma is a crippled soul. A materialist. A genuine spiritualist, he is Mahatma. And those who are not genuine spiritualists, they are Duratma. So, the good news is this. You have a choice. You can be Mahatma or Duratma. It's your, completely within your power. What do you want to be? You want to be a Mahatma or a Dhiratma? You want to remain asleep in this material existence? Mr. and Mrs. Dhiratma? Or do you want to wake up to your eternal identity as a spiritual being? Qualitatively one with the Supreme Person who is the source of all existence. I have a good piece of advice for you. Kindly do not cheat yourself. You are an eternal spiritual being. You are qualitatively one with God. This is God is eternal, you are also eternal. Just as God is full of knowledge, you are also full of knowledge. Just as God is full of bliss, you are also full of bliss. But at the present moment, you are cheating yourself. Instead of sat or eternity, you are experiencing asat or temporality. Why are you experiencing temporality instead of eternality? Because you are misidentifying yourself with that lump of blood and flesh known as the body.
Nes jūs galvojate, kad esate šitas mėsos gabalas, vadinamas kūnu.
So kindly kick out the bodily conception.
Taigi, šitą idėją reikia skirti lauk.
You are an eternal spiritual being.
Jūs esate amžina dvasinė būtybė.
You are not male, you are not female.
Ne vyras ir ne moteris.
You are qualitatively one with God.
Jūs esate kokybiškai.
And besides cheating yourself out of eternality by embracing temporality, you are also cheating yourself out of chit, or full knowledge, and accepting achit, which means ignorance. And you're also cheating yourself out of ananda or bliss and remaining in the realm called nirananda, loka, the place of misery. So the good news is that the Bhagavad Gita is teaching us exactly how to regain our original position. You do not have to remain a slave of this material nature. If you will take to the science called bhakti or devotion, you can revive your original spiritual nature. This science is practiced under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. If you have the opportunity to become a disciple of a bona fide spiritual master, it is the greatest opportunity that you've had in millions and billions of lifetimes. Because by the grace of the bona fide spiritual master, you can get out of the cycle of birth and death. You can return to your original identity in the spiritual world as an eternal associate of the Supreme Lord. The spiritual master is very kind. He's very merciful. I know Prabhupada was very kind and merciful with me. I was actually quite a rogue. But Prabhupada accepted me as his disciple. Because I agreed to chant at least 16 rounds every day and follow the four regulated principles. It's the wisest decision I ever made in millions of lifetimes. taking shelter of Prabhupada, accepting him as my spiritual master, was the greatest decision I made in millions of lifetimes. Brahmanda Brahmite Konna Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadaipai Bhakti Lata Bij. After wandering in the material world through countless lifetimes, going between the higher planets and the lower planets, one living entity who is very, very fortunate gets the opportunity to be blessed by Guru and Krishna with the seed of bhakti.
Milijonas gyvenimo, siela klajojanti po visatą nuo aukščiausio iki žemiausio planetų, gauna didžiausią siekį sutikti bona fai dvasinį mokytį ir gauna iš jo dvasinį
siekį. So, if you would like to get that opportunity,
taigi, jeigu jums pasisekė gauti tokią galimybę,
if you would like to be blessed with bhakti or devotion to the Supreme Lord,
jeigu jūs norite įgyti bhakti, aukščiausią dievo asmenį,
there are no material qualifications whatsoever.
Nėra jokios materialios kvalifikacijos tam.
You can be a saint,
ar jūs esate,
you can be a sinner,
šventasis,
you can be rich,
ar turtingas,
you can be poor,
ar vargšas,
you can be beautiful,
gražus,
you can be ugly,
ar ne itin,
you can be healthy,
gali būti sveikas,
you can be sick,
ir pasiligojęs,
you can be wealthy,
bagotas,
you can be a pauper,
arba visiškas vargšas. It
doesn't matter, there are no material qualifications.
Jokia materiali kvalifikacija visiškai nesvarbi.
Simply you have to be sincere.
Paprasčiausiai, ko reikia, tai nuoširdumas.
That I would now like to awaken pure love of God within my heart.
Tai yra, aš noriu pažadinti meilę Dievui savo širdyje.
If you have that sincere desire that I would now like to awaken pure love of God within my heart,
jeigu turite šį nuoširdų troškimą savo širdyje,
then that all-merciful Lord, Lord Shri Krishna,
tada Viešpats Shri Krishna, pats palaimingiausias,
who has millions of names,
kuris turi milijonus vardų,
some call him Buddha,
kai kurie jį,
some call him Allah,
vadina Buddha, kiti Allah,
some call him Krishna,
kiti vadina Krishna,
or Govinda.
Govinda.
He can also be called Christ.
Taip pat jį vadina Kristumi.
If you have a desire to awaken your pure love for that Supreme Person,
jeigu jūs trokštate pažadinti meilę šiai aukščiausiai asmenybei,
then he who is seated within your heart is the super soul, Paramatma.
Tai Paramatma jūsų širdyje, aukščiausias Dievo asmuo.
He will bring you into the contact of a bona fide spiritual master.
Atves jums dvasinį mokytoją,
who will then teach you, guide you, and train you how to become purely absorbed in love of God
24/7.
And everything that you do,
ir viskas, ką jūs darot,
this is described by Krishna.
Yat
kadoshi yadashnasi yajutaho sitapasi yat yat tapashashikontaya tat kadushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me.
Kad ir ką tu darytum, kad ir ką tu valgytum, aukotum, ar kokias askezes bedarytum, atlik tai kaip auką man.
So the bona fide spiritual master will train you how you can actually do that.
Ir dvasinis mokytojas mokins jus, kaip tai daryti.
How every thought, word, and deed can become purely dovetailed with the service of the Lord. In such a state of mind, you become a liberated soul, situated beyond the influence of the material nature, who can relish the sweetest happiness at every minute, chanting the names of the Lord, hearing the glories of the Lord, bowing down to the Lord, offering foodstuffs to the Lord, eating the remnants of foodstuffs offered to the Lord, serving the bona fide spiritual master, serving the Vaishnavas. In this way, one enters into a state of unlimited happiness. You can do it as a monk living in the temple.
Galite tuo užsiimti kaip vienuolis šventykloje.
Or you can do it as a householder in your own home.
Arba kaip šeimininkas savo namuose su šeima.
You simply have to make Krishna or God the center of your home. That's all you have to do.
Visa esmė Dievą padaryti savo gyvenimo centru.
Just like in the temple, we have an altar. Well, you can make an altar in your house also. And before you eat, you offer all your food on the altar. But remember, God does not accept meat, fish, and eggs. So you take vegetarian foods, fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and grains, and you offer them to the Lord before you eat. And by that eating, you achieve a state of divine intoxication. Therefore, you won't need any intoxicants anymore. You won't need caffeine. You won't need nicotine. You won't need opium or LSD or marijuana, because you'll be intoxicated just by the food that you eat. Because you've offered it to Krishna or God with love before you ate. Of course, in Christianity, I remember we used to pray before we would eat. We would thank God for the food. Of course, that is very good. But even better is you offer the food to God. Let's say that I have no money and you're my friend and you supply me some food to eat. So I say, well, thank you very much, and I start eating. Maybe I should think, well, maybe he would like to eat also. So you give me this nice food. Now I'd like to offer to you, you can take. So this is higher than the Christian understanding. The Christians take from God and thank Him for what they're taking. But the Hare Krishna people, they offer to God, you see. Even in Christianity, it is said it's better to give than to take. So we follow that ethic. It's better to give than to take, you see. So our philosophy is you give to God. Other religionists, Christians, Hindus, Muslims, etc., they take from God and they thank God for all the things they're getting from Him. But we say it's better to give than to take. So we give everything to God. Whatever we have, we offer in His service. So what is the difference of the result between doing this and doing what the other religious do? What's the difference? It's a huge difference. It's a humongous difference. The difference is they just get their, you know, they pray for daily bread and they get their daily bread. We offer our daily bread to Krishna. And then we get our daily bread and we get Krishna Himself. When you give everything to God, God will give you all your necessities, that's no problem. But beyond the necessities of life, He will give you Himself. You will become the owner of God. God will become your personal property. So that's why Hare Krishna is better. Because we not only thank God, but we also give to God. Yes. We're not just take. No, we want to give. Vaishnava philosophy means give.
Vaishnava philosophy is to give.
And when you give, then Krishna will give you unlimited facility to give. Just like we can feed the whole world with prasadam. Our mission is we want to feed the whole world with Krishna prasadam. And if Krishna will give us plenty of facility to do that. Because our philosophy is to give. And by doing that, God gives us unlimited facility to serve Him more and more. So please do not be a kripana, a miser, who simply wants to take from God. For such a person, you sometimes will get what you want, sometimes you won't get what you want. But one who is always giving to God in all places and circumstances, Krishna describes him in Bhagavad Gita. Ananyaschintayantomam yejana prayapasate tesham nichabhyuktanam yogachemam vaham yaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating in my transcendental form, I personally protect whatever they have, and I personally give them whatever they need. So this is the proper consciousness. There's a nice term for it. It is called Krishna consciousness. Perhaps you've heard that term, Krishna consciousness. This is the perfection of existence. To come to that state known as Krishna consciousness. In this state of Krishna consciousness, you do everything for Krishna. In this way, all of your needs are automatically covered. We have a few minutes left in my allotted lecture time. Perhaps some of you have some questions. I'll be very happy to try to answer them for you. There's the question. Yeah.
Norėjau paklausti tada, kodėl demonai nusipelno tokios pačios malonės, kaip ir išaukštinti į vaktį, jeigu sakoma, kad galima būti didelį demoną arba tyro sudarusi. Tai kodėl jiems tokia malonė?
I want to ask about demons. Why the big demons, they get the same mercy as big devotees?
Why do demons get the same benediction? One who is killed by the Lord gets liberated.
Taip yra todėl, kad tą, kurį nužudo Dievas, jisai gauna išsivadavimą.
So if you want to be a demon, you have to be a big enough demon that Krishna will personally kill you. However, oftentimes they only get impersonal liberation. Sometimes they get personal liberation. It's like Putana. She got personal liberation because she came as Krishna's mother. She became a pure devotee in the spiritual world after she got killed by Krishna. So the key is you have to become big enough demon that you can terrorize the whole universe. Hitler was not big enough. Stalin was not big enough. You have to be bigger, much bigger demon than that. So that you can terrorize the whole universe. Or the demigods are also feeling threatened by you. That'd be a pretty powerful demon to threaten the demigod. Okay. Next question. Yeah.
Sometimes when the devotee asks Lord Nisimhadeva to clean his heart, the Lord starts to clean and it becomes so hard that the devotee becomes very tired and afraid to ask more cleaning. What to do in this case?
He's cleaning his heart, but he finds it very difficult to clean his heart. Well, you have to be intelligent. It's like you've been away from your house for many years. You were traveling all over the world, and you come back to your house, and it's so dirty. You think, well, it's too much work to clean the house, you know. I just live in a dirty house, I guess. Is that a good idea to live in a dirty house? No, it's better to be intelligent and go ahead and do the work. You'll feel so good when your house is clean. Another example, let's say you're really tired, you're really dirty and tired. I'm too tired to take a bath. I'm just going to stay dirty. It's some endeavor to take a bath, no doubt. But you feel so good after the bath. You, with your intelligence, you know, okay, I'll go ahead and take a bath because I'll feel really good after I take the bath. So when you feel it's very difficult to engage in cleansing your consciousness, that's actually a good sign. It means there's a lot of cleaning that needs to be done. That means when you actually make the endeavor and clean your heart, the transformation will be absolutely amazing. Is it getting darker? Is it getting darker? We can turn the lights on. So go ahead and just make the endeavor. Because you will feel so good after you actually cleanse your heart. Just like the lights coming on, you see. You feel so good. So go ahead and make the endeavor, work hard and cleanse your heart. Give up illicit sex. Give up meat eating. Give up intoxication. Don't go to the casino anymore. Chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And you become so full of light, you'll be able to give light to the whole world. Next question. Ask the Shaki.
Why Prahladas Maharaj was preaching to his parents? Why he did not know that it is not good to preach to your parents?
What is this about?
Why he was preaching to his parents? Because it's not good to preach to his parents.
Actually, who says it's not good to preach to your parents?
It's not auspicious. It's not respectful.
Not respectful? Sankirtan's parents are here. This is not disrespectful. I see his nice mother and father are here. This is very nice. He's preaching to his parents. What's the difficulty?
Kokia problema?
They're very nice parents.
Labai gražus tėvai.
Mother and father, very nice.
Labai gražus.
What is the difficulty?
Kokia problema?
Tėvai paprastai nepriima vaikų pamokymų.
Usually, parents do not take the instructions from children.
Well, give them some prasadam then. Some nice prasadam. You have to be intelligent. How I can, just like I preached to my father, and he actually used to come to the temple and he'd hear the lectures, and he really enjoyed hearing the lectures. You should preach to your parents and make them devotees. Do you love your parents? If you love them, you'll try to save them from birth and death. They are caught up in karma chakra. If you have any love for them, you will do whatever you can to try to bring them to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you don't love them. Next question.
Kitas klausimas. Prahlad Maharaj has a mother, and the question is, does she try to protect his son, her son?
Does the mother try to protect his son? What does Bhagavatam say? I'm not sure. I didn't read that in the Bhagavatam, but the mother did. But he had a very good protection. Nisinga Bhagavan. Next.
Kitas klausimas.
Truputį kalbės apie krikščionių skirtumus, tai kokių dar yra skirtumų ir ar jie irgi gali pasiekti tą sąmonę ir išsilaisvinti.
You were speaking about difference between Christianity and Krishna consciousness. Maybe you can explain some more difference, and the question is if Christians can also achieve Krishna consciousness.
Yes, I know. I know a Christian who became a disciple of Prabhupada, actually.
Aš žinau tokį krikščionį, kuris tapo Prabhupada's mokiniu.
Me.
Tai yra aš.
Actually, Jesus brought me to Krishna consciousness.
Jesus Christus mane atnešė.
I wanted to be a self-realized soul. And I can understand Jesus Christ is a self-realized soul. So I was trying to figure out what made Jesus Christ a self-realized soul. So every morning I get up early and study read my Bible, the New Testament, about Jesus. Trying to figure out what was his secret, what made him a self-realized soul. And one day I found it. Jesus says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. So I knew, okay, that's it. I just have to do what God wants. Forget what I want. Just do what God wants. And then I'll become a self-realized soul. But I had one problem. I didn't know what God wanted me to do. But it became revealed to me that if you ask God what he wants you to do, he'll answer your prayer. So I started praying every morning. Dear God, please guide me how I can become your perfect servant. All I'm doing is following Christian philosophy. There was no Hare Krishna. I was just following Christian philosophy on the highest level. I was praying as a Christian. Dear God, please guide me how I become a perfect servant. And then a Hare Krishna Swami came to town. Krishna sent him to answer my prayer. So although I was raised as a Christian, I was never able to strictly follow the Ten Commandments. Nor do I see any Christians who strictly follow the Ten Commandments. The commandment is, thou shalt not kill. And they're all going to McDonald's and having hamburgers. Murdered cows. So even though I was raised as a Christian, I was not able to strictly follow the path of Jesus. But when I met the Hare Krishna people, they taught me how I could purely follow Jesus. You see, whether you follow Jesus or you follow Krishna, it's the same thing. Because Jesus is the Son of God.
Yes, Jesus is Dievo sūnus.
He's the Son of Krishna.
Jis yra Krishna sūnus.
Like Father, like Son. The teaching is the same. Krishna says, surrender to me. Jesus says, now I surrender to my Father. It's surrender. Either way, the perfection of Christian philosophy and the perfection of Krishna philosophy is surrender to God. It's the same philosophy. The difference is the Christians don't know how to do that. They're not teaching it. And the Hare Krishnas are doing it. So the Hare Krishnas are actually the best Christians in the whole world. Praise Jesus. Hare Krishna. Next question. Want to add something there? Next? Yes. Okay, over here we have a young lady.
The question is, why the soul is eternal?
Because the soul is qualitatively one with God, and God is eternal, therefore the soul is also eternal. And because Krishna loves you, he doesn't want you to disappear. He wants to keep you around so he can have a loving relationship with you.
I want to ask, so many people are saying that we don't want to know any religion because you see that these Muslims, terrorists, they do so much nonsense. So they say we don't need any religion because religion is made like that. And it is really that in Quran it is written that you have to kill people, or why it's happening?
Actually, Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati confirms that Hazrat Muhammad is a pure devotee.
Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati confirms that Muhammad is a pure devotee.
But they haven't understood how to properly follow Muhammad. That's the problem. We see this problem exists in every religion. Even in the Hindu tradition, also the same problem is there. They approach religion for the purpose of material sense gratification. The Hindus do it, the Christians do it, the Muslims do it, the Buddhists do it. Everyone approaches religion to fulfill material desires.
Budistai, krikščionys, musulmonai, visi naudoja religiją tam, kad patenkinti savo materialius poreikius.
But that's not the real meaning of religion.
Bet tai nėra religija.
That's irreligion in the name of religion.
Tai yra bedievystė.
Actual religion, the word religion comes from the Greek, excuse me, the Latin word religio, which means to relink.
Religijos žodis yra latiniškas žodis, kuris reiškia atkurti ryšį.
So actual religion is that which reconnects one with the Supreme Person as the source of all existence. So we're not interested actually in this so-called religion. Krishna says, give up all religion. Sarvadharman Parijaja. So they say, I don't like religion. It's very good. Our philosophy is to give up religion. Krishna says, give up all religion. Sarvadharman Parijaja. Our philosophy is spirituality. It's not religion in that Namatan main sense. This is the science of spirituality. It's not some sectarian religious system. Where in the name of God they do all kinds of sinful nonsense. We are teaching the science of how to reconnect the eternal living being with his source. It's like there's two conditions of the hand. The hand can be connected with the body, serving the function of the body, or it can be cut off from the body. So we are not independent. We are part of a complete whole. And we are meant to be connected, fully connected with that complete whole. Now we are trying to live and be happy in a disconnected state, like a hand cut off from the body. That's not practical. The hand cannot survive being cut off from the body or rot. So we are disconnected from the complete whole at the present time. So actually you can tell them this is not religion, we are teaching what is called Atma Tattva, the science of the self. We are teaching how to connect the individual self with the Supreme Self. Just like reconnecting a hand that has been cut off from the body, reconnecting it with the body again. You see? We are teaching a science. That there is a source for existence. The so-called scientists now, they say that existence has no source. Dr. Stephen Hawking declares that everything comes out of nothing. But that is simply dogma. There is not one shred of scientific evidence to prove that anything can come out of nothing. The fact is that everything comes out of something. And you can trace every cause back to every effect back to an original cause. This was realized by Lord Brahma. He calls it Sarva Karakaranam, the supreme cause of all causes. We are teaching the science of how you can reconnect yourself with the original cause of all causes. When you get connected like that with the supreme cause of all causes, you enter into a state beyond all anxieties. A state full of love, full of peace, a state when you're fully empowered also to act in ways that ordinary people cannot act. And that's what we are actually teaching. We're teaching the science of bhakti. How to revive your original divine consciousness. We're not teaching in one of these nonsense religious sects where they, in the name of religion, they exploit people. Those people are not religionists. Anyone who hates his fellow man is not religious. One who loves God must love God's children also. If you tell your next door neighbor, you know, I really love you, but I hate your kids, will that be accepted? You say, well, how can you hate my children if you love me? If you love me, you have to love my children also. Otherwise, I don't accept that you love me. So someone who hates other living beings, he has no love of God. He has no religion at all. A religious person naturally is full of compassion for all living beings, because he sees the spark of divinity in every living entity, even a little ant. So anyone who is cruel to other living beings, he's not religious. Those who eat meat, they're not genuinely religious. You see, because they're torturing the cows in the slaughterhouse. The cows are also dear to God. How you can put them in the slaughterhouse and eat their flesh? You don't have no love of God. So in this way you have to understand, these people don't know about anything that they're talking about. They're completely under the grip of the lower modes of material nature. Our philosophy is strong. Our philosophy can defeat every nonsense philosophy on this planet, because we are teaching the absolute truth from which everything is emanating. And we give you the science of how you can fully realize that absolute truth with full intelligence, with all of your senses. You can directly experience that absolute truth at every minute. That we are teaching. Does that answer your question? Okay. Next question. Okay.
Kodėl pravladama fražas, jisai niekada nesimendė viešpačiai nesimadėjo, kad jis jį apsaugotų kažkaip, bet viešpas nesimadėjo, jį vis tiek apsaugotų.
Prahlada was never praying for protection, but Lord Nrisimhadeva anyway protected him. Why he was not praying for protection?
He didn't need to. Prahlad didn't have to pay for protection. He knew he was protected.
Why do we pray for protection?
We pay to be protected from forgetfulness of God.
And
that's our But Prabhupada authorizes to pray for protection, because it's a dangerous world. But actually, simply by being completely submitted to Krishna, The protection is already there. I've seen how it really, the Shingadev's name is very powerful. One night we were being, the temple was being robbed by armed bandits. They came in with guns to the Pashadam room. There, everybody get down on the floor. But I was thinking, what is this nonsense? Get down on the floor. I wouldn't get down on the floor. But I yelled out, Nishvingadev! And actually, when they had the gun at one of the Brahmacharini's heads. They had a hand on her mouth and a gun at her head. You know. She was going, but when I yelled Nishvingadev, now I had the gun pointing at me. But I wasn't afraid. I knew I was protected. So I just thought I would negotiate with him a little bit. I didn't think the gun didn't scare me. I didn't get on the floor like everybody was told to get on the floor. I just said, where are your friends? What do you want? And they said, the money. Where is the money? They came to rob the temple, you see. So actually the Pashadam room was just next to the temple treasury. But there was no sign on the door that said treasury. It just so happened the temple president was in the treasury at that time along with the treasurer. And after I yelled Nishringadev out loud, the temple president heard somebody yell Nishringadev, what's going on in the Pashadam room? So he came out to see what was going on. And he went like that. And he turned around to go back into the treasury. And then that gun that was pointed at me, now they took that gun and they hit the temple president on the head with a gun. Not hard enough to knock him out. He got a little cut on the head, a little blood, nothing bad. But our temple president, he was cool as a cucumber, as they say in English. The treasurer was sitting there behind the desk. And in the drawer there was a revolver. And out loud, I heard it halfway across the room, he told the treasurer, he said, get the gun and shoot the bastards. So as soon as they heard that, they were gone. They didn't stick around and wait for the gun. Actually, the treasurer, in those days, whatever the temple president said, you do that. It still should be like that. Whatever the temple president says, you do it without question. So the treasurer, Yadavacharya was his name, he grabbed that gun, he came running, pow! But he missed. The bullet went into the wall. But my experience was, just by here we were under an armed robbery. The gun was at the Brahmacharini's head. It was a heavy scene. The other guy had a big rifle. I mean, it was heavy. Two black guys. It was a heavy thing. But all just by yelling to Shringadev with full faith, the whole thing was turned around and they were running like scared rabbits out the door. They didn't get one penny. Just by yelling to Shringadev. So it's okay when there's danger, you can yell Nishringadev. I had very good luck doing that. But actually, if you're simply Krishna conscious, you'll be protected anyway. But since we're not that Krishna conscious, like Prahlad, it never hurts to yell Nishringadev when the demons attack. Actually, the sound vibration neutralizes them. Nishringadev! Kijai. Okay, next question.
O kaip išvystyti meilę tokiems sutvirmams, kurie gal nelabai malonus ir simpatiški, pavyzdžiui, gyvatės, tarakonai arba vadai?
How to develop love for such creations like snakes and mosquitoes, how to learn to love them?
Just love Krishna.
Tiesiog mylėk Krishna.
Then automatically you'll love all of his creatures.
Ir automatiškai mylėsi kiekvieną dievą būtybę.
Okay? Yeah. Question next.
Kitas klausimas.
Z had her hand up over here.
Aš labai domiuosi, tiesiog ne, pagrindė prieš nesąmonę visą laiką domiuosi, praktikuoju, bet mane domina visą na pasaulį esančias religijos. Ir budizmas, ir krikščionybė, ir islamas, taip pat daugiau svarbesnių nėra. Tai norėjau pasiteirauti. Kaip yra personali budistinė religija, kaip yra krišnaizmas personalistinė religija. Tokie du skirtumai, kaip garbinamas viešpas impersonaliai ir personaliai per asmenybę, per impersonalės jėgas, tai pagal islamą tada yra
okay.
Garbinamas
islamą. Make it brief, make it brief, make it brief. We don't need a whole lecture, is it?
Okay. Did she want to ask if... in Islam, it is personal philosophy or impersonal philosophy? Islam.
One of our ISKCON devotees is a former Muslim, and he's written a very nice book showing that actually the Quran is personal. There's so many, the Quran in so many places describes God as a person. But because the Imams are not properly training the Muslims, they don't understand this. So we have a better imam here. We have Prabhupada as our imam. He's training us properly. Next question.
Can you say that there is two ways of preaching, directly and indirectly? And if so, can you explain something about indirect preaching?
Yes. Our Swami has described in this way.
Shridhara Swami is stable.
Direct preaching is like a plow. And indirect preaching is like a needle. He said it's okay to come in like a needle as long as it's all right to go in like a needle as long as you come out like a plow. So if you just go in like a needle and come out like a needle, you haven't accomplished anything. You can use indirect preaching as a technique for direct preaching. But if all you do is indirect preaching, you're wasting your time. In like a needle, out like a plow. Next. All right. Again. You think you might add something, just let us know.
Hiranyakashipu was making very big austerities.
What is it?
Hiranyakashipu making big austerities.
Yeah.
But maybe for him to make this austerity not was so hard as for me to fast. My question is, does Krishna need our austerities?
You want to answer this one? Okay. Does Krishna need our austerities?
Ar Krishna reikia mūsų askezių?
Krishna doesn't need our austerity. We need the austerity. Next.
Kitas
You understand why? Because we are sense gratifiers. We have to learn how to be satisfied without gratifying our tongues at every 2 or 3 hours. The sages who were there during the original recitation of the Bhagavatam, for 7 days they didn't eat, they didn't drink anything, they didn't sleep, they just sat and heard Bhagavatam for 7 days. We're fasting for 24 hours, or not even less than, we're fasting for 24 hours. They were fasting for a whole week. So these are austerities, and these are not very big austerities we're doing. This is good for us. It helps us to learn that I don't need to eat. By hearing about Krishna, I can become completely satisfied. So these austerities help you to get free from the bodily conception of life. And you get a big feast at the end anyway, so what's the big deal? Next question.
Norėjau paklausti apie Brahmą. Vedose sakoma, kad jis sukūrė Krišnos energiją panaudodamas visą visatą. Bet tos kelis kartus susidūriau su tokiu klausimu, kad tarsi galaktika mūsų sukūrė, ar bendrai visas galaktikas, kiek mokslas šiuo metu žino, sukūrė Brahmą.
Does Brahma create our galaxy or our universe?
Brahma, Lord Brahma, the whole universe is Brahma's creation, not just the galaxy. This is called the universe of Chaturmukhi Brahma. You can put that on your address. Kaunas, Lithuania, Earth, Chaturmukhi Brahma universe.
Lietuva, Žemė, keturgalvio Brahmos visata.
Because there are many universes.
Nes visata yra ne viena.
This is a very tiny universe.
Šita visata yra mažytė.
The other universes, the Brahmas have 40 heads.
Kitos visatos daug didesnės.
400 heads.
Ten Brahma turi
4,000 heads.
4,000.
40,000 heads. 400,000 heads. 4 million heads.
4 milijonus.
Because the universes are so big. But this is a very, very tiny universe. Therefore, Brahmaji only needs 4 heads to keep an eye on everything that's going on. Next.
Ar yra kokia išskirtinė tarnystė, kurioje Krishna patenkina labiausiai?
Is there some special service which is give most pleasure to Krishna?
Yes, to preach this message for the fallen souls. Krishna declares in Gita, there is no one more dear to me than the preacher. Therefore, if you are smart, you will dedicate your life for awakening the whole world to Krishna consciousness. Next.
Kitas klausimas.
Ashtashaki Devi Dasi.
Bet toks man demoniškas klausimas asmikalė. Krišna yra absoliutus. Jis gali ragauti ir įgėjimų, ir užsimis, ir visko jis gali ragauti. Bet kodėl jis negali paragauti mūsų aukojimo prasadą per sekundę? Kodėl reikia 15 minučių laukti?
Krishna is most powerful. He can do anything. So why then we offer him food he can't eat in 1 second? Why we have to wait 15 minutes?
To curb down your lust.
Tam, kad sumažinti jūsų geismą.
Next.
Kitas klausimas.
Aš noriu paklausti tokio dalyko, kad nes visi žinom, kad pasiekti tobulumą yra labai sunku. Ir tas bakti kelias, bent jau man jis yra labai sunkus ir aš kartais puolu į depresiją, nes kuo toliau einu, tuo labiau suprantu, kad esu žiauriai netobulas. Tai noriu paklausti, kaip rasti viltį, kai esi nevilty. Nors lietuviškai yra sakoma, viltis yra kvailių motina, bet dar vienas makaradžas pasakė, kad maždaug transformuokit viltį, nevilti į viltį, aš nemoku, man yra neviltis, kuo aš daugiau kartu aš jau vardu, tuo man didesnė depresija apima. Nes suprantu, kad nepasieksiu to būdų. Ačiū.
To achieve perfection is very hard. And more I practice, more I understand that I am very fallen and I am go to depression and have no enthusiasm to practice because I see that it's impossible for me to achieve perfection. So how to found this enthusiasm in such a situation?
Are you initiated?
No.
Oh, that's the problem. You need to have a spiritual master. You're like a street dog. You need to have a master. And then when you have a spiritual master, then you have all guidance, all blessings, all inspiration, how to stay fixed on the path and never be depressed. I know, I'm just speaking from my own experience. My first idea is I become Krishna conscious on my own. But I realized it wasn't possible, didn't it? And I realized I really need to have a spiritual master. And when I did that, everything completely changed. Because when Prabhupada gave me a very wonderful instruction one time. But this instruction, I'm never depressed. He said, I can see that you're a very sincere and enthusiastic boy. He said, now continue enthusiastically as you are doing and surely Krishna will bless you. See, when you don't have a spiritual master, then you follow your own mental whims. That's the problem. And the difficulty is your mind is a rascal. You know what I mean? Your mind is a rascal, that's why you're depressed. But when you have a spiritual master, you don't follow your mind anymore, you follow your guru. And by doing that, your mind can't pull you down anymore. Spiritual master teaches you how to conquer your mind. That way, depression never happens ever again. There's no discouragement because you have this guru's blessings to help you keep your mind under control. So that's what you need. You need a spiritual master. That will solve all your problems. It's like this microphone is standing on three legs. The three legs to conquer depression are this. Take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. Get initiated by him. And be fully obedient to him. Then you'll never ever be depressed ever again for all of eternity. It's a perfect formula given by Rupa Goswami. It's described in chapter 6 of the Nectar Devotion. The first three steps on the path of bhakti, shelter, initiation and obedience. Because you're not fixed in these three things, you're experiencing depression. That's the answer. Shelter, initiation and obedience, that will solve every problem. Now you can take my advice or you can leave it. If you take it, your depression will be gone. If you leave it, you're still going to be depressed. So it's your choice whether you want depression or you want no depression. It's your choice. I'm speaking the truth.
Aš kalbu tiesą.
If you don't believe me, try it and you'll see it. I'm precisely correct in what I told you.
Jeigu netiki, pabandyk ir įsitikins.
Next question.
Kitas klausimas.
Yes.
Daugybė istorijų apie Krišną ir visai tokia nemaža dalis jų yra susijusi su žudymu demonų. Ir šiaip visokio ten karalinė čia ir panašiai. Kaip mes galime suprasti kai kurių žaidimų, kur pavyzdžiui Krišna sugovė, jų grožį suprasti lengviau negu tų žaidimų, kur Krišna kažką žudo, tai kaip tuose žaidimuose gauna kaip grožį.
There is so many stories where Krishna is killing some demons. And how to understand the beauty of this killing activities? It's more easier to understand something than Krishna is gopis.
Actually, people, and there's so many Hollywood movies with brutal murder scenes and people love them.
Tiek daug Hollywoodo filmų, kur ten žudo ir šaudo ir gaudo, jie patinka.
People love, they go, it's a certain type of rasa, ghastly rasa. People enjoy ghastly murder scenes. They go to the movies and watch them and they go,
wow.
So Krishna's murder scenes are the most ghastly and amazing of all. They're wonderful murder scenes. Huh? Give Manaji the mic.
They like to see their hero win.
They like to see their hero
win.
Win, yeah. I mean, it's great. Krishna always wins, you know. It's really these stories are actually amazing. These histories are actually quite amazing. Look at the Agasura Lila, for example. Sometimes it looks like Krishna is going to be defeated. You see? It's like the suspense is really great, you know. And the cowherd boys went all marching into the mouth of Agasura, thinking it was a big cave. The cowherd boys went marching into his mouth. And Prabhupada explains Krishna was momentarily bewildered. Now how could Krishna be bewildered? But yet as a pastime, he for a moment he was bewildered. What's going on? What to do? So Krishna then also marched into the mouth of
Agasura.
But then Agasura closed his mouth. And it looks like Krishna is finished and all the cowherd boys are all going to be killed. All the demigods are lamenting, alas, alas, alas.
But
then Krishna, he expands himself and comes out of the demon, blows through the Brahmarandra, the held on the top of the skull, and completely obliterates the demon. So these stories are actually very wonderful stories. When the Hollywood becomes Vaishnavas, we're going to have the best movies you've ever seen, I guarantee. So that's one of our agendas. We want to make the Hollywood Krishna conscious. Actually, we have a good hope for doing that. We have a very nice temple right there in the many of the movies are made right there in Culver City, California, and that we have our temple there. Many of the producers and movie stars, they come and eat at our restaurant, Prasadam. So there's a great hope that someday ISKCON will conquer Hollywood. And we'll have wonderful Krishna conscious movies of all these demons being killed by Krishna. How much time do we have left? I see we're getting ready for the Abhishek. How many minutes? 5 minutes? Okay, 5 more minutes. Question.
Акамала, Сарва Камала, Бокша Камала, Дадив. Реште, ар мес
pilni troškimų, ar mes visai neturim troškimų, vis tiek reikia šlovinti Krišną. Bet kitoje vietoje, ten, pavyzdžiui, standartuose, mirsingo dievo gali šlovinti tik tai naištiką brahmačarį, pavyzdžiui. Ar čia visi gali iš to žodžių šlovinti mirsingo dievo, ar kuris čia nurodytas reikia pamatoti, priimti kaip čia. Kaip suprast, kuris?
In one place it is said that anyone who has desire or has no desire should approach and glorify God. But also we know that there are standards, for example, that only Naishtika Brahmacharis can worship the Lord Nrisimhadev. So, can everyone or not everyone?
Can everybody worship Lord Nrisimhadev? Well, we're all doing it. Prabhupada has arranged that we all worship Nrisimhadev. Tavakara kamalavare nakamadbhuta singa dalita hiranyakashipu tanubringam keshavadrita narahari rupa jai jagadisha hare Jai Jagadisha Hare, Jai Jagadisha Hare, Nrisimha Bhagavan ki jai. We all worship Nrisimhadev here. We're all Nrisimha Bhaktas here. He is Krishna himself in a form which is very ferocious to the demons. Because we are in the age of the demons, the Kali Yuga. We're in the age of the demons, the Kali Yuga. We're very much grateful that Lord Nrisimhadev is protecting us. So we can peacefully worship Krishna. Next. We have time for one more, I think. Okay, Ashta Shaki, she's the most enthusiastic question asker.
You mentioned that we are not able to chant because of our proudness, and we could very easily see that others are proud, but how to see the proudness in ourselves?
Hear from others. It's very difficult for us to see how puffed up we are because we're proud. We don't want to think we're proud. So learn how to take it from others. That's why we have devotee association. Devotees will say, Prabhu, I think you're getting a little puffed up today. You know, we have to learn how to take it from the other devotees. Why are you being such a puffed up rascal? See, we have to learn how to be chastised by the devotee. The Guru Maharaj chastises us. Temple authorities chastise us. Our peers chastise us sometimes as well. We have to learn how to take instructions from the Vaishnavas and from the spiritual master. That's the key. How we get free from pride. Learn how to take correction. When you're told you're doing something wrong, don't think, no, I'm not. You have to understand you are full of faults. You are an ocean of faults. Pride is only one of them. You're envious, you're lusty, you're greedy, you're crazy. All these faults are there in your heart. We all have these faults. So therefore we have to take instructions from Guru and Vaishnavas and we have to hear submissively. That's the key. By submissive hearing, You can get rid of that pride. Okay, our time is up. Now we're moving on to the next program, the Abhishek. So we thank you all very much for your so nicely hearing and asking. Nrisimha Bhagavan ki jai.